Thank you very much. I am from different continent, and my pronunciation, hope Holy Spirit to help you to understand it. And I am a pastor, and God gave me later training pastors from rural areas because they don't have education nor Bible knowledge. So God gave me to teach basic fundamentals, doctrines of the Bible. We have trained through these Bible schools. I have 9 Bible schools, and with these, God gave me so far 17,000 pastors has been trained. Glory to Him alone. And in India, I'm from Hyderabad, and there were 2 friends. One is a born-again believer Christian and a Roman Catholic friend. So this born-again believer want to bring this Roman Catholic friend to his church, and he used to tell, come to my church, to the Roman Catholic. And he used to postpone all the time. One day, this Roman Catholic friend asked another friend, "You come to my church, then I'll come to your church." Said, "Okay." Then they went together to church, and they saw masses. This born-again believer, "What is that?" They're giving, offering incense to the Holy Mary. Then again there was statues. "What is this?" "They're saints. They pray for us." Then like this, so many things went on. Then later on, another day, when the Christian asked Roman Catholic to come to his church, well, he came, then there was singing. Then the Roman Catholic asked, "What is that?" "They are singing doxology, praising the Lord." Then later on, another announcements came. "What is he doing?" He's telling the announcements, what is the order of the service. Then later, the preacher came on the podium. "Then what is he doing?" "He's going to preach the word of God." Then he took out the watch to keep on the table to see the time. "What is he doing?" "Oh, that is absolutely nothing." So, in India, if you preach for 25 minutes or 30 minutes, they think you know nothing in the Bible. But if you preach 1.5 hours, well, you know something in the Bible. Well, so we are going to have 1.5 hour service now. Well, I have a small message from you, and I want to talk from the Ephesians, book of Ephesians, first chapter. In this Ephesian church, Paul stayed 3 years and taught to the church. And this is the place where Paul stayed longest time in his life, ministry life. Then he stayed 1.5 years in Corinthians church. So because he stayed longest of the time, and he wrote so many perfect doctrinals, so we are going to see some doctrines in book of Ephesians. Please turn with me, first chapter. Ephesians, first chapter, verse 3-6. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chooses in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ." Well, here in verse 3, we can see that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus is having a Father. He is heavenly God. How come he is a Father? Well, Jehovah's Witness says that he's his son to God, like you and me. That's the reason Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is a created being. Proverbs 8, according to that. But God is speaking in Proverbs 8 about the wisdom. But they believe about Christ. That's very wrong. But how come Paul writes, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is he really Father to Jesus Christ? Well, Heavenly Father, Heavenly God says, he is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What does that mean? And Jesus says always, I am doing the will of the Father. Well, in the world, I have born to one father and mother. I share their blood and flesh. So if I call them daddy and mommy, they love me, protect me, provide me everything. So what is the relation between father and son? How do we understand this? Why Jesus is called son? Throughout Bible, we can read many, many times. Millions of times it has been said that son of God. What are you understanding out of this? How to interpret this? Well, God gives you a doubt and he wants to clarify it so that your faith will increase. The meaning of the son is said in the Bible, John's Gospel. Turn with me, please, if you have Bibles. John's Gospel, 5th chapter, 16 and 18. God declared the meaning of the Son, or actually the Jews were telling there that what is the meaning of the Son? John's Gospel. Fifth chapter, 16, 17, 18. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things and the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father had been working until now, and I have been working. So Jesus accused him of two guilties in 18th verse. Therefore, Jews sought all the more to kill him because he is not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with the God. The meaning of Son is equal to God. That's where Trinity comes. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are equal. Three personalities are equal in one, godliness. So, he is made equal even in this world when we say, even in our time, after the Father, the Son can handle the Father's business. The Son sits in the Father's seat to do the business. The Son inherits the Father's property. The same way, even if you see in Philippians 2:6, book of who being the form of God did not consider to robbery to be equal with God, made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into likeness of men. He was equal to God. there is very clearly mentioned, did not consider to robbery to be equal with God. He is equal with God. He is God himself. Came in our form to rescue us. While coming into the world, he was called as a son. He was not son to God, but he has been called as a son. President, is it his name? No, that is his job. Like same, he has called as a son to make you and me sons and daughters to God. How he made? He shed his blood and washed your sins and gave his righteousness to you. When God looks up from heaven, me, he won't say Timothy Sataluri, but he'll say, he can see only the Jesus' blood has washed me from all over the sin and his righteousness is in me. Then God say, my son. What is the qualification to become son of God? Is we should be washed by the blood of Christ and we should have his righteousness. That is the reason in Romans 8:16. In Romans 8:16, Holy Spirit says, with our hearts, and the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, because his blood has washed us and his righteousness is in me. And Holy Spirit now, triune God, know this and comes into you and says, you are a son of God. That's the reason Jesus was called son, to make you and me son or daughters of God. Then now we'll go to the main subject. I want to talk about eternal security. When we believe, what is the security we have? We have eternal security in Christ. Please, we'll read from fourth verse, Ephesians, first chapter, continuation after third. Third is, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as he chooses in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as the sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I want to ask, to understand this, or what is the eternal security, I just want to ask your pastor some questions. Can I ask you, please? Can I ask, please? Okay. I'm going to interview my dear friend, who loves India. He came many times to India. Okay. Troy, when did you accept Christ as your personal savior, please?
1982. I was 13 years old.
Good. Good testimony. Okay. In 1982, Jesus shed his blood to wash your sins?
Yes. No.
What to understand? Yes or no? Yes, that is true. Not that when you accepted Christ, you made holy or you washed your sins, but 2,000 years ago, you are a child of God. You are pure in his sight. He never shed blood for anybody afterwards. There's only one time on Golgotha, he shed his blood. For whole world. I don't know how many generations are going to come. In those generations, who are going to believe in Jesus Christ, He has washed already 2,000 years ago. We don't even born that time. God knows you and me. And you washed us and made pure like snow. Then what happened in 1982 when Troy Willie asked, "Lord, I'm a sinner." Well, the whole counsel of God started fulfilling from that moment. Even though God washed your sins 2,000 years ago, but when you ask, "Lord, I'm a sinner," the whole counsel of God has started fulfilling in you from that moment. God started you to mold you in Jesus' righteousness, like Jesus. When we meet him, we'll be like him. That work has been started the moment you said, "Lord, I'm a sinner." But you're righteous 2,000 years ago. How beautiful it is to know. How secure it is that even though we are not born, even our great, 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 great grandfather could born, we were righteous. Righteous. Well, when Jesus Christ shed his blood 2,000 years ago, then what God the Father is telling, before the foundations, what does it mean? Yes, in his eternal plan, he chose you and me and wrote your name in the book of life. You turn with me to Revelation 13:8. You can see yourself the security of what God the Father has done to you. Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. It is in negative. We have to turn the verse into positive. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, that is devil, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundations of the world. That means, whose names are written will not worship. Whom say names are not written, they will worship. See the security. God, before the foundations, know your name. Know my name. Know your name. Know your name. And already written in the book of life. God confirms it again in Revelation 17:8b. Revelation 17b, 17 chapter 8 verse b. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life. This is also in negative way. You have to convert into positive and understand the word. And those who dwells on earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life. From the foundations of the world, they will worship the devil. Whose names are written will not worship the devil. How secure we are. Those whose names are written, Jesus washed them. You, if you want, you can turn with me to Matthew 1:21. There, the meaning of Jesus is written. The name Jesus Christ is written. What is the meaning of Jesus? Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Who are his people? Those names are written in the book of life. Those are his people. Those are Jesus' people. God given, because these are I have chosen from the world. From the foundation to the end of the time. What a loving God we have. What did we do? Did we do anything that God can select us? God, before the foundations, elected you and written your name in book of life, and Jesus came 2,000 years ago and washed your sins. Now, the Holy Spirit, please turn with me to Ephesians 1:13. What is going to do the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The moment you say, Lord, I am a sinner, Holy Spirit will do three things in your life. The moment anybody says, Lord, I am a sinner, Holy Spirit is going to do three things in your life. Number one, he will give you the experience of washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know how it works today even. When I accepted Jesus Christ in 1971, I felt the same thing. Every believer feels the same thing. We will be washed by the blood of Christ. That is the experience Holy Spirit gives you. Second thing, he joins you in his body as one of the faculty of the body. That is what called church. His body, Jesus' body means that is the church. That means Holy Spirit will give you membership in his church. That is what called, Bible says, that is the Holy Spirit baptism. Baptism of Holy Spirit. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12:13. That is the baptism of Holy Spirit. The moment you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, immediately Holy Spirit will take you to wash in the blood of Christ. Then he will give you his baptism. Or in his church, he'll join you as a member. If you take Bible and come to the church, you're not a member of the church. You can pay or you can donate some money. That's not going to earn you the membership in the church. Holy Spirit has to give you. Please read with me in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That is one church, universal church. Whether Jew or Greeks, that means either Indian, American, Russian, Pakistani or anybody. Whether Jew or Gentile. Or Greeks, Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, educated, uneducated, rich man or poor, whoever it may be. And have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For by one Spirit we were all baptized. This is the second thing Holy Spirit will do. He will give you his baptism, or he will join you in his church as a member. First, he'll wash you. He will give you the experience of washed by the blood of Christ. Then second thing, he will join you in his church. Third thing, he will seal you. He will seal you until the day of redemption. How secure we are. It is called triple security. It's not life insurance, but it is insurance forever and ever and ever. This is the God we love. This is the God we are praising. This is the God who is protecting us. What a grateful God we have. In India, for believing this God, many were persecuted. When you believe Jesus Christ in India, they will outcast you. They will not allow into the family. They will not have any connections with you. They will not give you food. Your children cannot study in schools, public schools. Your relatives will not invite you to the family celebrations or parties. You are an outcast. You have no part because of this God. But they want to bear it because the joy they have in Christ. The peace they have in Christ. I want to show you some of the persecuted church and persecuted believers, how they live in some parts of India. Can I ask my dear pastor to yes. Well, if you see this statue, he is called Monkey God. They think they'll put his statues front of every village and every town and every city that he will protect the village. He is called Monkey God. Okay. These Hindu fanatics, there are three parties in government parties or political parties in India. One is Congress, one is BJP, that's called Hindu fanatic group. Another thing is communists. Whenever the Hindu fanatics come up into any state, their first target is to attack Christian churches and pastors. Why do you do, if you ask? Their answer is, if we allow you to preach Christ, one day India will become a Christian country. That is the fear they have. That is the reason the immediate target is Christians, pastors, kill them. Or rape the woman, spoil the children. Remove from the jobs, remove from the work. This is the Christian families. When they attacked, they left their homes and they ruined the homes. This is one of the mainline churches. You say mainline means Baptist, Methodist, and Wesleyans and Lutheran, such as the one of the church. Look at the cross, how it has been burnt. This is Christian family homes. They are destroyed. Homes are burnt, you can see, just because they believed in Christ. Their sin is believing in true God. Look at, you can read with, they have written with check piece, praise the Lord. But now they are living in tents. Since 2 years, they are living in the tents. They are The villagers are not allowing the Christians to come into their villages. Even though they have their own properties, their own homes, they are not allowed. If they come, they want to kill. So Christians are living since 2 years in this. I went personally and gave them saris, blouses, petticoats, and a pant, shirt, bed sheets, and towels. I distributed. This is, I was teaching in Bible school. Two young pastors came and they had a misunderstanding of the baptism. Somebody said, even without taking baptism, you can continue, because they quote that, well, where did the thief on the cross took baptism? Without baptism, you can continue. do the ministry. When I was teaching baptism class, they understood and they want to take the immersion. But government will not allow. This is in Orissa, a state where the Hindu fanatics are really ruthlessly persecuting Christians. So the two young people, young pastors came, we want to take immersion baptism. Then when I was ready, I heard government will not allow. Police will come and catch me. So I said, I'm helpless. In such situations, I used to take 100, 120 people to my state and used to give immersion baptism, send them back by giving their train fare and food and everything. And twice I did. When Trivalli was there, I gave 102 baptisms in the Bay of Bengal. So they bought affidavit from the government that out of our own faith, our own interest, we are taking baptism. Then they allowed, I'm giving baptism there. Two pastors there, young pastors. This is the persecuted Christians living in the tents. I'm giving relief material. This is the Christians who are standing in queue to receive the relief. Mostly this relief will be sponsored to me by one church in Colorado, Applewood Baptist Church. Whenever there is a problem, floods or such kind of Christians were tortured, I write to my friends, they will come forward to give money to buy these things. I watch before the Lord, whatever the money I receive, every penny is invested in the kingdom of the Lord. Every penny is invested in the kingdom of the Lord. We are with you, O torture for Christ. This is how I teach to the pastors in villages. They'll sit on the ground on mats and I'll explain through the blackboard. All the biblical fundamentals I'll teach. This is the group of after finishing, we issue the certificates. It's a free course, totally free. Because they are not educated and they don't have money. In villages, in their Sunday offering, some pulses and rice and egg or some vegetables. Because they work in fields and they get wages that. So out of their wages, they give. Very few coins will come to the pastors. So they cannot come to attend a Bible school and never went to a Bible theological seminary. Because seminary will cost, even in India, very expensive. They cannot afford. So God helped me to teach them free. I provide free stay and free food, morning breakfast, lunch, dinner, and two time tea, and I teach biblical fundamentals. Afterwards, I'll give free certificate. This is how, because of one man, this only for prayer. I want to raise prayer partners. I'm telling you this. One man from Colorado, his name is Jerry Bryant. He gave me, when I started, he started helping me with $4,000 every month. With him, I trained 17,000 pastors. 2 years back, he wrote, Timothy, I'm not in a position to send $4,000. I can give you $2,000. Then I made, out of 9 Bible schools, I reduced its staff and made 4 Bible schools. Just before leaving to America this month, I received a mail from Jerry Bryant. Timothy, banks are in a very bad shape. I am unable to continue. I'll give you only $700. So pray that Lord will do his work. We are only there when he gives opportunity to utilize the opportunity and praise Him. God bless you. This is children's conference. We will have 300 children conference when teachers from the United States, they come. We'll invite all the children from the different churches and we will conduct children conference for 3 days. This is women conference. We invited around 300 pastors' wives and evangelists, lady evangelists, or we call Bible woman, who goes house to house to tell about Christ, and Sunday school workers conference. We invited 300 women, but it turned out 800. Where Jeannie Willey taught about Ruth in this conference. There, Jeannie, she's pure white. Famous teacher. God gave me to support special children like mental retarded, polio, deaf and mute, and blind children. He is a mental retarded child. She is a mental retarded. Her head is very small. And she is completely, her limbs will not work. Everything, we have to take her and we have to feed. Her hand can come up to here. Her legs won't work. Her name is Jyoti. And this girl, can you see? Like baby, but she's 10 years old. And since 6 years, she's like that. I don't know who are the parents. Some lady came and gave, and without turning back, she went out. And I'm constructing a new building. I have asbestos tin sheets, barracks for the children. Now, I'm constructing a building, but up to there I constructed, no money, it stopped. These are the needs. Please pray, that's all. I need some prayer partners. God bless you.
We were going to do just a couple of questions for interview. One of the things that I would want you to know as a church is that Timothy understands that we are a missional church and that we have many missionaries that we support across the globe. And he's also understanding of the times in which we live and the circumstances that we face. And I let him know that I wanted him to come today simply to present his ministry, that you could see it, that you could be in prayer about it. Maybe over the course of time, the Lord would allow us to put together a small team to go and see his work firsthand, kind of explore the territory, take in the scope of his ministry. And maybe through that, as the Lord would lead down the road, we as a church would have an opportunity to partner with him in ministry. Do know that we are not going to have a special offering, but the church has given him a very nice honorarium. And if you as an individual would have interest in coming alongside him, whether it be through the mobile Bible schools or supporting a particular orphan, you certainly have every means to do that. And you could talk with Timothy today, and you could also let that interest be made known to me, and I would help you be able to accommodate that need in a way that is both to your advantage as far as taxes go, but also in an appropriate way so that we are ensuring accountability in our stewardship. Timothy, question I have for you is, how is it that the mobile Bible school ministry has a number one priority for you? I ask that because as Americans, we see the children's needs and our hearts go there first. How is it that the mobile Bible school actually will provide a greater impact for your ministry?
Well, I started Bible schools in Hyderabad city and invited pastors to come for free training. They could not come. Only 11 pastors came in my first school. Well, I found out later in 6 months that the problem of they're unable to bear the expense. Even though I want to give their transportation or the fares, train or bus, whatever it may be, still they don't want to come because leaving their churches, leaving their families to come for a 1 month. We teach 4 weeks training, Monday to Friday, around all the biblical fundamentals. 8 hours a day. I teach every day, 8 hours a day in the Bible. So I trained some of the students to teach the same subjects and send them into villages so that they can invite or visit 20 villages, invite the pastors to a central place and start a Bible school. This is called Mobile Bible School. This is how we started 9 Bible schools and it trained so far. So, teaching Bible is more important than supporting a child, because the furtherance of the gospel is the cause of Christ coming into the world.
He asked me to help share a little bit more so you could understand in case there was any translation barrier there. The needs for the orphanage are great. But as they work in training more and more believers, that will begin to transition into those kinds of needs being met through the church and the people of God. I've asked Timothy if he'd close in prayer, and as he does, if the worship team would come and lead us in a closing song. Would you pray, brother?
Yeah. Thank you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity you have given us to worship you, adore you, praise you, and thank you for defeating the death, defeating the sin, and resurrecting for us on Sunday. At this moment, we want to lift our hearts to praise you and thank you for the eternal security what you have given to us. And you sent the Holy Spirit to give the experience of washed in the blood and becoming the member of the body of Christ and sealing us in Christ. Thank you for the opportunity. Bless this church, meet their needs, and come alongside of them so that they may grow in spirit and do many more missions for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen.